humans, and welcome to this bonus episode of Audio Face. We are going to be reviewing, not really reviewing, but kind of previewing and going back into the history of Coldplay.
Their Everyday Life is being released.
Yes.
Their studio
album. Latest album.
Yes.
It's like their seventh, their eighth, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and we are going to be talking about that album soon, as we do on Audio Face, as is customary, but also as is customary, we're going to talk about the history of Coldplay, and this is going to be really funny because actually, we've talked a lot about Coldplay these 130 or so episodes of Audio Face that we've done when all is said and done.
Yes.
And you've mentioned Coldplay a lot in passing, but we haven't really gotten into like the big
details. We haven't been able to super talk about them that much until they've released an album. So yeah. Now we can actually make a bonus episode, so that way you can get the ideas of why I love and hate them.
Yeah, and this is going to be really interesting because this is going to be definitely one of the ones that you'll lead in, because I definitely have like little peaks and valleys with Coldplay and what I like, but my position of Coldplay is as someone who has heard them from the mainstream but doesn't like them as a mainstream artist. Like, I like their older stuff, if that makes sense. It will make more sense to the listener as we go in. But first, this is Audio Face, so make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod so you can get all the music news and reviews and stuff that we post throughout the week, little clips of the episode. We're on YouTube at youtube.audioface.show. Our regular website is at audioface.show, which you should check out. And make sure you're subscribed, of course, to the podcast, because then you get all of the episodes we're doing in addition to Coldplay. We did a bonus on Beck. We're going to be reviewing both in a future episode. We're going to have a bunch of episodes coming up the rest of the year, so just subscribe. Make sure it's cool. And now let's go into Coldplay.
So Coldplay are an English rock band, naturally, because usually very good bands come from England.
That's make good stuff.
How it fucking works. They formed in London in 96. The band member is Chris Martin, which there's a lot of people who know who Chris Martin is. He does vocalist and piano, guitarist Johnny Buckland, bassist Guy Berryman, and drummer Will Champion. Those are the members of a once-had Coldplay. Their first studio album was Parachutes in the year 2000. The year 2000.
And we also love to talk about bands as they like evolve through their names. So they went from Pectorals.
Pectorals, yeah.
Yeah, to Starfish.
Yeah.
Then the Coldplay.
It's funny. I love seeing how bands always change their names constantly until they become the one they're named. Until Coldplay was Coldplay. Like the 1975, they went through like 45 different names. Radiohead were on a Friday before they were Radiohead.
Yeah.
Speaking of Radiohead, they were influenced a lot by Radiohead in the early work. They said that, Chris Martin in interviews and said that OK Computer, Kid A were albums that he thoroughly enjoyed and really were stuff that influenced a lot of his work, which you could hear in the earlier works.
You can
for sure
absolutely tell that in the
especially in Parachutes.
Albums, yeah.
So Parachutes, which was in 2000, was their debut album, and it pretty much exploded from the day it was released because of a certain song, Yellow. And it was all yellow. Which really amped them up to get to kind of an early stardom, which doesn't happen too often with bands. You know, Arctic Monkeys, that happened with their first album, but it doesn't happen too often. But anyways,
yeah,
this is an amazing album for the year 2000. 2000 is one of those years, again, even number year, where there's just albums that come out. That's ridiculous. Kid A was also released in 2000. But it starts off with Don't Panic, which is a song that's just 2 minutes. It's kind of slow, but it has this really, really nice guitar riff in the middle of it that brings that whole piece to where I always wanted that song to be longer, but it being 2 minutes was a track that's like, okay, this is good to starting off an album. Shiver is a pretty popular song. A lot of people know it. Spies is good. Sparks is a very, very good love song, which is just an acoustic track with Chris Martin going over it. And it's very good, especially live.
For an acoustic song, I actually really like it.
Fantastic. And I remember seeing live shows of him. They don't play Sparks that often from what I remember. Yellow was a banger. It's one of those songs that was put on the radio right away. Trouble, another one. Parachutes is good. We Never Changed the last one. Because this is like on Spotify, they have the deluxe one.
Yeah.
Is a very good track. So for a debut album, There are plenty of radio hits on here, but it has a true alternative rock sound to it, to where they're really going and expanding on the Brit side of alternative rock in that early 2000s period. And Jesus Christ, it's an amazing album and one of my favorite albums of all time, for sure. This album got me into them, and I will always listen to it. And whenever I get in moods, I usually start with Parachutes, to be honest, because of how much I like it, especially Don't Panic. That's such an amazing opening track for an album.
And for a band, really.
And for a band, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's the song you start on, because it's not a big track or anything, but it's enough to suck you into. Wow, these guys are good. Wow, they have ideas.
There's definitely something here.
There's
when you start
so
listening to
much
it.
Something here. Yeah, and that exploded them to where, and they started to get more hits. They started playing bigger shows and stuff, and they got their name out there for themselves.
Quite good for a first album. The second one came out in 2002. A Rush of Blood to the Head.
Oh,
this is when I finally started actually.
This
getting
is
on
when
the Coldplay.
It really became in the mainstream, especially in the US, because of Clocks and The Scientist.
Yeah,
which I think are good songs, but I think they got extremely overplayed on the radio, and I think there's a lot better work in this album.
Clocks was the first Coldplay song I really love, and I really, really like.
Yeah, it's
loved
a, it's
it,
a
like,
great
yeah,
track. It has those really chimey pianos and stuff. It's very catchy into it. It was played in radios and commercials and shows, everything. The thing again with this album is Politic, the opening song, is not a song you would normally start as an opening track, but it sucks you into the album because it starts off with this odd tempo thing with the drums and the guitars that it goes, it stops, 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 and it starts into it, into a 5 minute long piece. And it's not, it's a weird track to open it up, but they tend to do that in their earlier work. In My Place, Gotta Put a Smile on Your Face, those three tracks for opening, fantastic. Then it goes into Scientist, Clocks, which are the two big hits out of it. And then there's Daylight, which is amazing, underrated track in it. Warning Sign, A Whisper, which is also good. A Rush of Blood to the Head is criminally underrated too for the track, title track.
Yeah.
The lyrics of it, the production of it, it's a slow song, but it is amazing of what it does. It's just those two albums in a 2 year span of holy shit, these guys are one of the best rock bands in the world. They're like on track to become, you know, on par with Radiohead. Good.
Coldplay was Coldplay. It was
exactly.
It's
and this is when they started to get big in the US, especially with those tracks. And again, A Rush of Blood to the Head. Fantastic album. X and Y to me is a little bit slower of a start. Like it took me a while to like X and Y. It came out in 2005, so 3 years after it. This is when now they've become bigger. They've started to get a little more notoriety, more play around the world. They're starting to sell out shows and everything. They're not just opening up for bands, because I know actually Coldplay opened up for Radiohead a couple times. But anyways,
nice pairing,
dude. That would be an amazing show to go. If you went to 2000 the Kid A tour and you saw Coldplay and Radiohead back to back, like damn, that's shit you don't forget. So it starts off with Square One, which is a kind of a slow song again, but to me it didn't really suck you into it. What If is a track I wish they swapped those for the opening for X and Y. I really like What If.
Yeah.
the song everyone, there's a couple songs on here that everyone will know. Fix You, Talk, and Speed of Sound.
Yeah, I was gonna say Speed of Sound. Definitely,
Speed of Sound is again one of those bangers that yeah. just gets radio play immediately, gets around there.
Just a slow, not slow down, but like pause for a moment. X and Y, it's a slower kind of take for
It's definitely a slower Coldplay, album for them.
But there's still
great tracks because
I talk a lot to defend myself a little bit in yeah. audio face lore. I talk a lot about songs and I talk about a lot about how I like things that are more faster paced and things mm-hmm. that are interesting. But you can pack a lot of emotion and feeling and power into slow songs. Is that a lot of times
well, yeah, that's why I like slow, slow that's why I like slow tracks.
But a lot of times yeah. when people make slow tracks, it's like they decide to take all the energy out of it too, mm-hmm. and ends up being really pared back and lacking sort of that depth.
Which well, I mean, is like, yeah. where I give you an example is Billie Eilish's new single that was released. That's yeah. a slow song, but it has all that emotion, raw emotion into it. And Coldplay's slower work tends to have that emotion. Like an example, Low, which is
Billie
the
ninth single, Everything I Wanted, just for the record.
Yeah, yeah, for the record, yeah. for people who listen to this later on.
Yeah.
For Coldplay, the song Low, which is the ninth track on X and Y, is a slower song, but it's long, it's 5.5 minutes long, but it builds and builds and builds and builds. That's what they were very, very good at doing, was having long songs, but they suck you in the whole time and they keep you drawn into their music because it keeps building, it has a message on it, and for slow music, it's fantastic.
And
for
by long, tracks. At this point, we're really barely cracking at the 5 minute surface.
I mean, it's not cigar, it's not cigar
at this point.
Yeah,
at this point.
Exactly. Yes. And but X and Y is still, it's a good album, but to me, it felt like they were two steps forward, one step back with X and Y to me. Where it's like, okay, you had some good ideas, but there was a little bit, some stuff that was missing in it compared to the other previous two works. But I mean, considering A Rush of Blood Ahead and Parachutes are like some of the best albums of the 2010s or the 2000s, is ridiculous to have a try with three albums back to back. And then we go to 2008's Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends. And that is one of my favorite alternative rock albums of all time.
Oh yeah, it's a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece, especially the Prospects March edition, which is a dual-sided album where it just has some B-sides and stuff to it. And to me, that one was what started, this is peak Coldplay to right where the fall hits big time. So let me give you a little rundown. Life in Technicolor, which is the sound of the album. That is just the thing that had the music
it's like
video.
A soundscape,
yeah, it's the theme of the album is like this little puppet show that they have for the Life in Technicolor, which is just thing that's like it suits the album. You have Cemeteries in London, Lost, 42, which are great songs. Lovers in Japan, and you get to one of my favorite songs of all time. Yes, it's a 7 minute long song, but it's two songs into one. And the second half of Yes is incredible. It yeah. is one of my favorite alternative rock tracks ever made. I just listened to it. I can't describe it, how much I like that second half. About 3.5 minutes into the track, it switches, and god damn, it's good.
It's phenomenal.
And then you have Viva La Vida, which is the track that extremely blew up, and to me was very overplayed. I didn't even think it was that great of a track.
Even for me, like at this point, I was very much of a passively Coldplay fan, and so like mm-hmm. most of my entrances into Coldplay were all of, like the big hits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even I was like, okay, Viva La Vida's been being played too much.
It is.
I compare it to like being the kind of Muse fan who like listens to Muse, likes Muse, and then is like, okay, Uprising has been played too much.
That's what happened with Viva La Vida. Violet Hill's another big song that happened on it. One song that is very criminally underrated is Strawberry Swing.
Strawberry Swing is such
a good track. It's super uplifting, happy, and it's just good. You have the Prospects March Edition, which has Rainy Day, Glass of Water, Postcards from Far Away, which is just a little piano prelude. It's great what they did. But then they had a Lost with Jay-Z. And that was when exclamation points popped in my head of, ooh. When you know when you're playing anime and you get exclamation points of, ooh, whoa. When attacker nears, I was like, okay, what is this with Jay-Z? All right, you're starting to venture into territory here.
And, really good, right?
It was okay, but I mean, Jay-Z's part was whatever. And then you have Lovers in Japan, the Osaka Sun mix, which is amazing.
Nice.
So leave it over here. You have four albums right now, which are amazing. But then you have Milo Xylo in 2011, where they take the car, they rip the brakes out of it, and their tires, they run over tracks that just explode the rims, and now they're running on rims, and they're still trying to drive that car.
Running on rails.
They're running on rails. This is when they sold out. So I had a very interesting conversation on the way to watch Thom Yorke with Bam from the We Made a Podcast. Because Bam really, really likes Parachutes and A Rush of Blood the Head. He didn't like X and Y much, Viva La Vida, who's kind of indifferent to. But he said that he thinks that Chris Martin decided to just become a star. He was kind of out of the loop. He got in that Hollywood loop. You know, he married Gwyneth Paltrow or dated or whatever. Got in that Hollywood bubble and decided, you know what? I want to become the biggest rock star of my generation, and that's when Milo Xylo came out. And you can definitely hear it, because this is now Milo Xylo, Hurts Like Heaven, Paradise are all these really big pop anthems. Before, they never went into pop. It was always
like indie. The pop was always like kind of accidental.
It's accidental.
Like,
these songs
are really good. They work
well
like as
Muse,
pop.
It's like Muse, where it's the alternative rock which just gets played and put in a pop category, but it's not really pop. They're more in the indie alt-rock scene of true indie alt-rock, which is not, you don't get that often now.
It was really rooted in it. Like, they started in 2000 when it was like just
beginning,
on
exactly.
The scenes. It wasn't until like when some of their albums, like 2002, 2006, and 2007, when that sort of genre of like,
this is
back to basics, alternative rock was really back on the scene. And like, that was really when it had its stride, and so alternative rock was just like charting a lot because that was the thing.
But the Paradise is what really started to show me, oh no. They're going for radio hits, because that song blew up on the radio and it was overplayed again, but it wasn't good.
It felt too manufactured.
It's super,
by far.
This is
like where Coldplay just starts to sound manufactured
and
shit.
Everything is manufactured on this album. You have Princess of China with Rihanna, Every Teardrop is a Waterfall, Don't Let It Break Your Heart. All of those tracks are completely pop manufactured. And I remember listening to this album, I tried to like it. I remember I was like in denial low-key because of how much I liked Coldplay. I was like, I can like this, I like this, I'm telling you it's good. I remember talking to Justin before, I'm like, this album's good. A year later, I was like, dude, I was in straight denial. Like, I can't listen to this anymore. This is bad. It's just not good. Then that's when they sold out right there. And then you have in 2014 Ghost Stories, when it's like, dude, yeah, that's it. They lost their touch. They completely lost their form and everything of good about them.
There's nothing from that
because
album.
Because you have True Love, which is a garbage fucking track.
Except that song I remember is hot
it's
garbage.
It's so bad. You have decent tracks in there, actually, because The Sky Full of Stars and Magic aren't that bad. Like, actually, Magic is a decent track for me. Call it magic. Cut me into two. And with all your magic, I disappear from. Sky Full of Stars is manufactured, but I can listen to it and not want to, you know, gouge my ears out. The rest of the album, hot garbage. I remember this came out in 2014, and I remember a couple big Coldplay fans telling me, yeah, I don't like the direction they're going.
And that's direction they've gone, yeah.
That's a big thing for, you know, Big Stan to say.
Yeah.
So it'd be like me saying, you know, Notes on a Conditional Form comes off the 1975, and I go on audio face saying, I don't like the way they go. Like, that's heartbreaking for me, and that's heartbreaking for a lot of Coldplay fans, and that's what I felt like.
That's heartbreaking for me, waiting for those Dirty Hit checks.
I'm right, Dirty Hit. Come on, give me the monies. So, this is...
So, here we are, just to, like, flag plant ourselves. We're 14 years into Coldplay's
exactly.
career.
Exactly, and they pivoted hard.
I mean, like, the pivot was closer to around 10 years then, mm-hmm. when BAM's hypothesis, which you're, like, kind of leading into, which I think is kind of justified.
I think it's very
Coldplay
justified.
Coldplay was reaching the peak of fame, but they're also, like...
They've gotten that bubble.
People's worst moment, I think, is when they have seen the fame, they've seen the rise, and they feel it's starting to slip away. Because then mm-hmm. a panic starts to set in. The same type of panic that made them hungry and made them want to have that sort
Kanye
of career.
Kanye had the same thing, in a way.
That same sort of, like, panic... Or that same sort of like drive.
That's a really good sound from them too.
Okay, but listen, that same sort of drive that makes you hungry when you're starting out as a musician also makes you hungry when you feel like you're losing that stature.
Exactly.
And so they just went super by the book. They went super generic. All that sort of like alternative rock experimentation, you almost even question, was it there or were they just doing what was matching the times? Because now Coldplay's really good at what's safe and what's matching the times.
Yeah.
It just so happens that they happen to be safe and matching the times when they were the first to do it at a really good time.
I don't think they weren't safe then because their albums were always different compared to a lot of alternative rock at the time as
Fairly,
well.
Fairly, but like it was still like alternative rock. Whereas now it's like, it's like all of...
It's their first two albums especially where they were doing it for the music, big time. Because they're like, this is what we make, this is what we like. Because they're both, their opening tracks are not how you start albums to get people to like it, really. And even though their bangers are in the middle of the album. Like, it wasn't at the beginning of stuff like a lot of people do it up. To me, it was right where Viva La Vida is when they started to do it to make good music that's popular. But it was still good. Until Milo Xyla was when they made it for fame.
Right.
Especially
so it's
that
definitely
time.
Like a twist and a shift of
definitely
time.
That was
that starts
fame.
Around like and 10 years in, but it's definitely apparent 4 years in.
Yeah, and for like in Ghost Stories, I remember seeing a Target commercial of Chris Martin playing. I'm like, oh my god, what kind of indie artist would go onto Target to promote their record?
Target.
Like, that is.
Which then brings us to A Head Full of Dreams.
Oh,
which...
fuck me. If you do a song with the Chainsmokers, you need to stop. Even though that's not even on this, but that's this era. This is now the era of colorful Coldplay, as I like to call it, where Chris Martin just likes to go on stage and have people throw colors at him because he thinks it's cool and trendy and he wants to be hip even though he's old.
And he thinks it's like fun and playful.
Exactly. What is it? Adventure of a Lifetime is a decent song. Set a cake of warm, but in this way.
You make me feel
actually,
because yeah, really
it has,
catchy,
that, has that guitar riff. I'm like, you know what? I can see some of the old Coldplay into the new Coldplay. I can deal with this. But then there's Him for the Weekend, the third track, which is just hot garbage, awful.
It's like that. It's like it gives that little tease because I remember Adventure of a Lifetime. Yes, of course, it was extremely poppy. Yes, of course, Coldplay was leaning into it, but like it was a fun, playful song.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, maybe it won't be as bad as
I think. It even like got a lot of play for the Olympics and everything. But then like because it's 2015 and then 2016.
Now. Yeah,
and definitely got a lot of play for the NFL. But like
it just did in general, and then just the rest of the album is. Bad.
I will
really,
say,
really, really bad.
There was this song that was really small, but it was sort of an intro that I kind of like Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope?
That was sort of interesting.
This being human is a guest house.
Yeah, this is like, a short little track.
It's definitely not like meant to be a song as is per se.
No,
which is really sad.
But and then that's when they started going around with different artists, really, and they super sold out. Then it's sad from seeing artists making very good music to now being just these pop anthems and doing whatever it is to make money, pretty much, and get famous. And their latest single, which is "Orphans," for their album that's going to come out next week. It's not good. She said, I want to know when I can go back and get drunk with my friends. I want to know when I can go back and be young again. Bible would go where the flowers grow. It's the same thing of they're just doing what is good with the times at this point, which is now it's the come together bullshit of, oh, let's be political. Let's be come together okay, and have like, some people. Like, and that's what it is.
Every band, and we've talked about this recently and throughout all the history of audio based in general, it's fine for bands to be political. They should be.
But
political for what purpose? Are you being political for, again, like...
Neon Indian.
But yes, but like not to date this podcast too much.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And anytime... from Kendrick Lamar to anyone making like a big political statement in music, there's that for a reason because it's timely, and then there's I'm making a political statement because everyone's saying it's something
saying
about politics.
Exactly.
Saying something about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And yeah, Coldplay comes with this like, it's very much the stereotypical an English band going into like Africa or the Middle East, a country that they've thoroughly fucked up throughout history, and making and finding some children around to make a really nice video to make it seem like everything's better now.
Like, pretty much.
It's kind of like one of those things. Cause,
but I mean, granted, they did have politics in their songs before, but it was about actual things that matter and not just about things that are... it's like the song politics.
I mean, like the song like Orphans and Arabesque, they're about things that matter, but the way the delivery is very like ham-fisted.
Exactly.
As opposed to like being within the song and being not like...
Like Love If We Made It style.
Right, but even like Love If We Made It can be like very kind of, it's the line of subtle and not subtle.
Exactly.
Like it works as a song, but it's very in your face with the lyrics that's shouting as a mantra. Coldplay did the alternative rock thing of it's... more like they're creating a story and a motif, and within this motif are little bits and pieces that remind you of the contemporary fucked up world. And that's kind of like a better way to do it, because a lot of music people approach as a form of escapism, but if you make that escapism filled with little moments that remind you of life, then you can kind of learn lessons from it in a way that's a little bit more distant, so you don't feel like
you see that in
it.
Rap all the time and stuff.
But there's a way to do it that's very poppy, that's like less about trying to put art in it and trying to put a show to it and trying to make a point to it, and more this the song exists to express the point that I am being political in a song so that everyone pays attention to me.
Pretty
and knows
much.
That I'm doing this. Like, hey, Coldplay's making a statement. They did that one song about that one thing, so they kind of know about it, but it's not really well thought out, nor is it, like, necessarily the artist speaking from that kind of thing, because they haven't felt any kind of oppression really ever as being white English dudes, but definitely haven't since, like, the 2000s they were just coming up. Now they just totally speak from the ivory tower. So instead of just making art, they're kind of making the stuff that talks down and doesn't feel unique. And it goes back to, sorry to go on this long rant, I promise I'm done. But it goes back to them making music, what it feels like if they're making music that's a copy of what they see. Not necessarily making music that comes from them.
And they've done that since basically 2011 or like 2008 onwards, because Viva La Vida, you can argue about that. But it's just, it's a travesty of what they've done.
Yeah.
Really were. And I think that was a great point brought up by Bam, where Chris Martin, I think, got really fame hungry into the point where he's like, hey, I'm going to make all these cameos in different little TV shows and other things of, look at all these people around me. Like, oh my God, Chris Martin's here. He wanted to be like Bono style of fame and stuff. But I mean, U2 still made a lot more good music than Coldplay has.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, it's sad because I will listen to their first four albums pretty much for the rest of my life because they're fantastic. The rest of their work is just, it's a travesty. And that's why we have an award named after them called the Coldplay Sold Out Award for the most sellout part in music.
Yeah.
Because this is the most obvious example of it.
And the specific way is that, like, some sellouts, like, part of the award is for specificity and how obvious it is, but also it's kind of how much it lets you down.
Exactly. It should be really the Coldplay Let You Down Award, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just, I remember, just the feeling of, okay, I'm trying to get on board with this, and then when A Sky Full of Stars came, I'm like, yeah, that's it. Coldplay's gone, man. Coldplay's done.
Yeah, because imagine, like, the fans, like, kind of you're speaking from the point, the music fans who are listening to that and they go, wow, I tried to ride with this band for a while, and now I have to listen to this while I'm understanding that.
And there are a lot of people that like it too, and there are new Coldplay fans who just like their newer work as well, because they still sell out shows and stuff. Their shows are very popular, but to me it's a bit of a different demographic to what they were at before
yeah,
as well. So it's interesting.
Coldplay right now is a lot of like an arena spectacle. Like, eventually you start
eventually you start
selling out music to or shows at that point, at that size. And you can be performing kind of whatever, but it's just like loud rock music with lots of lights and
fog. And colorfulness, and that's what they do now.
So,
I know you understand why I rant about Coldplay a lot, because listen to their early stuff, it's so good.
It's a shame, definitely, when it helps to be a music listener, or if you're just getting into music, go into the old discography.
And of a lot of artists,
just
too.
Just understand when they, when listen to the albums all the way through. Understand it so you can understand that context, but you'll find the gems in there.
Sorry, exactly. No, I'll say that's what you should do with a lot of artists that we bring up as well on the podcast, that like maybe they haven't released an album for a long time. You can go in the discography and get an idea. Like Kanye is a good example, because Kanye's early work, fantastic. His recent work, he's crazy.
And it's another, to tie things up, that's kind of the interesting thing about what fame does to people.
It really is.
When it ends up being like art is trying to sell itself as something else.
There are some people
through fame.
Exactly. There are some people who take fame and go up that ladder, and there's other people who kind of shy away from fame and stay true themselves. Tom York is a perfect example of that. He doesn't give a fuck what people think about him. He just makes music that he likes to make.
That's why we like him so much.
And that's why he's God.
Anyways, this has been...
I am a God.
This has been the special edition of Audio Face. People really like these episodes, not just because it talks about like us and what we do within music, but you can get like kind of a really quick bite-sized history of bands that people are really into and really enjoy. Thank you for listening to this episode. Sean can be found on things, Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found Twitter at Dan from the Web, on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. You are watching this, and we can find this at youtube.audioface.show, and the website is audioface.show.
Correct.
Thank you very much. Next week, if you're listening to this in
week's time,
we'll do Beck and Coldplay.
Yep.
And that should be great.
That's going to be a very music-heavy episode.
Cheers.